to be a Christian. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Everybody said, amen. That's what the scripture says, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Be a blessing. That's an interesting beginning, I think. I hope it is. Be a blessing. I'm going to admit to you that I may have had a point in a sermon about blessings, but I don't ever recall preaching just about blessings. So I'm going to make that attempt this morning to preach to you some about the idea of blessings and what they are. The book of Proverbs tells us that the memory of the righteous will be a blessing, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Well, now that's an interesting conclusion, isn't it? Think about that. That the memory of the righteous will be a blessing, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Now, I've chosen a passage in the New Testament in the book of Ephesians in chapter 3 that I'm going to read to you. We're going to look at some of it together, and then we're going to talk some about the concept of blessing. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, I know you know that passage. That's a marvelous passage. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that he would be holy and he would be blameless before him in love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will and to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, our sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times. That is the summing up of all things in Christ. Things in the heavens, things on the earth. All things. Everything. And in him, we have been obtained an inheritance, and having been predestined according to the purpose of his works, all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory in him. You also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. What a great reading. What a great message. And if Ed Wharton were here today, you would be getting out till about 2:30, because this boy loves this particular area of the Bible and loves to preach about it. Well, I don't plan to keep you that long, but I do want us to think about a couple of things. Let's make this personal. If you were called on today, if I just said your name and asked you to come to the front and just participate in a blessing on me. If I just ask you to come down out of your seat and come down here in the front and say, bless me, what would you do? What would you do? What would your understanding of that particular task be? How could I go down and bless the preacher? What would I do in order to do that? Now, you would probably make some statements that had the word bless, of course, in them, to try to describe maybe who I am or single out some of my own personal attributes, if you knew me that well. Or you might just possibly walk up here and simply say, bless you, Brother Bob, and return to your seat. Now, we all use the word bless, right? You've said the word bless. Achoo! Oh, excuse me. What do you say? Bless you. Well, now, where did that come from? What do we mean when we say that? What are we talking about? We use the word bless all of the time, yet I think probably its definition is anything but really clear to us, or maybe, shall I say, on point in all that we think about. Think for a moment what you might think about in your life, what would be a blessing to you? What would be a blessing to you? Would it be, let's say, financial security? You know, do you ever think about that? Do you ever pray about that? Do you ever think of financial security being a blessing to you? When you go to get your paycheck, if you're still working and you work for a paycheck, do you think of it when you get it as, man, I have been blessed today? This is a blessing. How about, would it be something like good health? If you're not in good health, that would be really something great, huh? To be able to feel good again and to have good health. Maybe it would be a loving spouse or someone that you're looking for in the future or someone that you've enjoyed living with and has now gone on and you no longer have that. Or maybe a blessing to you might be a great, sincere kind of relationship, a secure relationship. Whether that was with maybe another person or maybe it was with an employer or just relationships with other people. We use this word bless in all sorts of contexts. I thought when I started writing the idea of the lesson, I just tried to think about the number of ways and the things that I say personally. That I say bless or use that word often. And at least three times a day I say bless this food. Now just what do you mean when you say bless this food? The memory of the righteous will be a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. What does the word bless mean? Now, if you're a Hebrew or a Greek scholar, you'll have to go to the Old Testament or the New Testament and begin to look the words up and try to determine what the word is trying to convey to us. I'm going to say that there are multiple definitions of this word. I'm going to condense it into kind of a statement that you see here on the screen. Just simply to speak good things or to do good things. They are blessings. That's how you can go about blessing So if I had called you to come down here to bless Bob, you could have done that by, you know, maybe you'd want to give me a $100 bill as I got started today and say, this is for a short sermon. And I would say to you, let me bless you. That'll take $500 for that. Or you might say that was really a great lesson you gave such and such a time. Or that was really a good deed that you did the other day. Or thank you for having gone by and seeing my friend when I asked you to. That could be a blessing. That is a blessing. It's really kind of difficult, isn't it, to put into just a few words to try to figure out what this whole thing means. When you pray, Lord, bless this food, what are you saying? Do good things to my body with this food? Is that what you're saying? Or maybe you're like me. I'm saying, Lord, I hope this tastes great. Is it about that? Or when you say, God bless my family. Or when you say, or do you say, when you bless God Himself? Yes, did you realize that you can bless God? When you say good things about God, you are blessing God. Blessing someone is speaking good things about them or doing good things for them. And it's not the only thing the Bible describes as blessings, but that's a pretty good general idea. There were all kinds of blessings in the Bible, in fact. When God says to His people, I will bless you, or, for example, as I've just mentioned, when we say to God, like the psalmist does in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His blessings. Or His benefit. What an interesting thought. That is, God blesses His people, and in turn His people bless Him. There are blessings that are spoken by God or people over things. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, we have this reading in verses 4 through 6 that says, blessed shall be the offspring of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the offspring of your beast, and the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket, and your kneading bowl, and you will be blessed when you come in and when you go out. Now, when I was growing up at home, when I came in and when I went out, I don't ever remember anybody telling me that was a blessing. What is God talking about? And how is it that He's saying that no matter what they're doing, they are blessing? They are a blessing. And the memory of a righteous person, the righteous will be a blessing. But the name of the wicked will rot. Blessed shall be your basket, he says. How about your basket? Has it been blessed? At the close of the book of Genesis, I believe it's chapter 47, look down there around verses 7 through 10, and I think you'll read that it says that Jacob blesses Pharaoh. Now, y'all know that that's just another word for king, right? Pharaoh. He was the leader, the ruler down in Egypt. How do you bless a king? What do you bring for a king? How do you bring something that the king doesn't already have? What do you say to a king that blesses his name? I've been delivering some lessons, a couple of, about being more godly on Sunday evenings. And one of the things that we've said that are very important is that we remember to pray for those who are our leaders, whether we like them or whether we don't. We pray about the leaders in our country. We pray about the folks, whether they're doing what we think is the right thing or not. Maybe we're praying that they will do the right thing. But the Bible says that's a blessing. And if we do that, that allows us to be God's people and live a peaceable life. Jacob blesses Pharaoh. And do you remember in Proverbs 31, how many of you know what that's all about? About just saying the chapter, Proverbs 31. You think about the righteous woman, don't you? Here's this marvelous description of this great worthy woman. And the worthy woman's children do what? They raise up and call her what? Blessed. 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 If your children walked through the front door and said, "Blessed are you, mother," I think probably most American mothers would not know how to react. What if your kids just came in and said, "Blessed are you, mom. Blessed are you, mother. Blessed are you, dad." And yet, this is what the Bible is telling us about being a blessing and about what blessing can do. Now, there are all kinds of different blessings in the Bible, of course. God sending His favor to mankind. Basically, in the Old Testament, there were, I'm going to say, about three different forms of blessings. One of the most common one was the ability for the person or the people, maybe the couple, to be able to bear children or offspring. "I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore," Genesis 22. Well, that was a repeat of the blessing that had been given to Abraham, and now it was being passed on down to Isaac. You see, it was a blessing to have a nice family. Blessings were found in offspring. And in fact, you probably remember reading countless stories where women were distressed because they had no children. And they would beg God to give them children. They especially would want a man child. Not because men were better than women, but because men were the ones who would be receiving inheritances. Offspring. The other one that's mentioned on some regular occasions is that, "Travis, I'd be able to defeat my enemies. Oh God, bless me and help me to defeat my enemies." You cannot read the Old Testament and not remember or at least be influenced by a number of these things that God was getting the children of Israel involved in. And part of that had to do with them possessing a land that He gave them. You remember that. And there were numerous times that they were in serious condition facing other armies. And they would call upon God and ask God to deliver them from their enemies, to defeat the enemies. And God would often say, "I will bless you. I will be with you. You will defeat your enemies." And sometimes when God would say that, they didn't believe it. It took a little while. you know, especially looking up on the horizon maybe and seeing all of those people lined up on the hills or whatever, and maybe their army was few, and they had to step out on faith. But one of those great blessings was being able to defeat their enemies. And another one was the idea of being able to strengthen bonds and friendships with other people. And we'll see that in a lot of these kinds of things where the people would say things like, "Express to me a kindness and show me your goodwill and show me your intention so that we might go forward in our relationship together." You can't hardly study the great relationship of David as he's becoming a king and has a great friend by the name of Jonathan, who's the son of Saul. And they are, well, the Bible says their souls were knitted together. But that's just the Old Testament. Now, I want you to wake up. I know that when I get talking about Old Testament things, sometimes we go off to sleep. But I want to talk to you about what we just read. Because in the New Testament, the concept of blessing takes a little bit of a turn. And it changes. And these blessings, and I'll just say in what we read this morning, if I was giving just a, you know, what we might often refer to as the condensed or Reader's Digest sort of commentary, this is talking to us about our salvation that God provided in Jesus Christ, right? Is that a blessing? Hello? Everybody out there? Is that a blessing? Yes, that God has provided salvation in Jesus Christ. Because the idea of blessing in the New Testament takes upon itself what I'm going to call a more intense spiritual meaning. I'm not saying God was not spiritual in the Old Testament. He was. But he was definitely dealing with a people who did not have the advantages that we have. That is according to what we just read in Ephesians 1. We have the benefit of God's Spirit living in us that seals us with our redemption, that promises us through the Holy Spirit that we will have all of these great blessings through Christ, who is our Savior. These are things that they had to accept by faith that they were being told in the Old Testament. And we know that many of them did accept them by faith. But not everybody, just like not everybody today, accepts the great salvation that is in Jesus Christ by faith. That's what we're talking about. Whatever blessings, brethren, that are out there in the treasure house of God, they have been handed to us and wrapped up for us all in Jesus Christ. He says, all things are summed up in Jesus Christ. And one of our mistakes has been, I'm saying human mistakes, not a godly mistake, a human mistake, is that we tend to think that that has something to do with who we are and where we go and what we do. And it doesn't. You see, this is the thing that has to do with who God is and what He's done for all mankind. Hello? Okay. This is really an important thing for us to understand. That there are so many things that are enumerated as these great blessings in Ephesians chapter 1. Do you remember the list of blessings that Jesus gave? You probably learned them as a child, and now that you got old, you've forgotten them, or you've forgotten what order they came in, or maybe you're getting the ending swapped around with the wrong place. But blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is what? Kingdom of heaven. That's a blessing. Blessed are those who are poor in their spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. What will happen for them? They will be comforted, right? That's a blessing. That's what Jesus was telling them. Blessed are you that mourn, for you will be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, said Jesus. These were great things in one of the most majestic sermons ever delivered by Jesus, our Savior. And blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be, tell me congregation, filled. What a blessing. We will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. What wonderful things are coming our way. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they are promised what? That they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called the children of God. I want to just sidestep a minute. You see that? I can still do it. I'm not dancing. I'm just sidestepping on a point here. We need not to forget who we are and remember that Jesus has asked us to be peacemakers. A lot of times, it may sound like we've been the initiators in the fight. Now, I'm not saying we don't stand for truth or what is right by the side of God. But do not forget that we are to be peacemakers. Live peaceable lives. And that is what gives us this great opportunity to influence the lives of other people. The blessings referred to in Ephesians, of course, are primarily the blessings that we find in salvation through Christ Jesus. And it includes so much. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's not any way that I would be able to preach all of these great things that are in this. But I am going to touch on a few of them because they are so important. Remember that the memory of the righteous will be a blessing. That's talking about you, isn't it? That's talking about me, isn't it? The memory of the righteous. That means if I'm going to have a memory that is a blessing, I must be the righteous person. Not the sinless person. But the person who's been made right by God and who lives by His example. So that I am affecting the lives around me. Look at what he says. In Ephesians 1 and verse 4, he says, we are chosen before the creation. God chose us. He chose us to live our lives with Him. A lot of times we refer to that as a walk. We walk with Him. Do you remember the wording of the over in the book of Genesis, Jim, where it says that Enoch walked with God and he was no more? I guess Enoch could do the walk so good that God took him home. I'm not sure what that means. I may be taking a liberty there. But I've often heard preachers say there's some folks who never tasted death, and Enoch is one of them, isn't he? He walked with God, and he was no more. I want to have my life be the kind of life that affects other people's lives, and that they remember that I was a person who loved God. God took him home. That's what salvation does for us. Am I right about that? Isn't that what we were just reading here about Jesus? That in Jesus Christ we are saved. That's the point I'm trying to make. What a great blessing that we have, knowing that this is what God wants for us. He allows us to live or walk with Him, and eventually we know that God will take us home. Amen? I hope that's the way you feel, and that that's not being worn around as some kind of a badge that says, hey, take a look at me, man. But rather, it's being used in humility to show to others that they can be there too. He uses this great word of predestined. He predestined us to be adopted. That means He made the plan up. God chose those who were willing to be chosen. Are you listening? God chose those who would be willing to be chosen, that they would follow Him and to listen to what was said and to respond to what was said so that they could live for Him. In Him we have redemption. This word, redemption and forgiveness of sins. Redemption is really better translated, ransomed, because it has to do with the idea that we had been kidnapped by Satan and held for a ransom. And Jesus was the only one who could pay it. Hello? Jesus is the one who paid it. Only Jesus can come and ransom those who are lost in sin. And when Jesus comes and ransoms you, your sins are forgiven. Don't listen to any of that other kind of preaching that sees or says somehow or another that you've got to live up to a certain standard in order for that to happen. This is saying that through the blood of Christ, Jesus paid my ransom and I am saved in accordance with the riches of His grace. And the price is the blood of Jesus, the only begotten Son of the living God. The memory of the righteous will be a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. And He promises in verse 14, through the Holy Spirit, in the giving of the Holy Spirit, that is the promised Holy Spirit. It was a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance sealed by Christ. It says that it is the mystery of His will, and that refers to the salvation of all, including the Gentiles or whoever it is, and that means most of us in this room. Then, even later on in chapters 2, we are given access to the Father and the spiritual blessing of the resurrection power. When we were dead in our sins, He made us alive together in Jesus Christ. For by grace you are saved and you are raised up with Him. That's the power of the resurrection. And yet one of the kindest things in Scripture, I think, that has ever been said, we enjoy in a song. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bring His countenance upon you and give you The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and be gracious. The Lord be gracious, gracious unto you. Amen. 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 The memory of the righteous will be a blessing. Now the question is, and in the statement, be a blessing. If I ask you now to come down here and bless me, you think you could do it now? Not that you couldn't before, but do you think you might understand what might be asked of you? Let me tell you these couple of things. Teach the truth. You can always teach. 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 Do it peaceably. Do it lovingly. Do it kindly. Do it relentlessly. But teach, and you will be a blessing. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Why? Well, their time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Be a blessing. Teach the truth. Reveal Christ in your life. I am crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2, verse 20. Be a blessing. And then pass it on to others. You remember the story of Esau, who became so hungry he sold his birthright. The Bible says he despised his birthright. That just simply meant that he did not think of it as valuable as a bowl full of soup, something to eat. I know it was a tough time for him, but pass it on to others. Fight the good fight. Finish the course. Keep the faith. And don't forget to be a peacemaker. In order to be called a child of God. Romans 12, verse 18, states very plainly, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody. Be a blessing, because the memory of the righteous will be a blessing. If you're here today, and you want to be a blessing to God, to yourself, to everybody around us, why don't you be obedient to him if you have never come and been buried in the waters of baptism? Or why don't you come and straighten your life out and your relationship out with the Lord and begin to live that way this very day? Why don't you come while we stand and sing?